This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on U.S. presidential election. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor.
The United States of America is electing its 47th president today. The main battle is between Republican Donald Trump, who is seeking a second term, albeit after 4 years, and Democrat candidate and present Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm now joined by former diplomat Ashok Sajjanhar and Prasar Bharati correspondent in Washington, D.C., Subhendu Ghosh. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anubha. Great to be here with you.
Mr. Sajjanhar, I'll start with you. Both the U.S. and India are democracies. We are a parliamentary democracy. U.S. is a presidential democracy. But the election process is slightly different in the U.S. as to what happens in India. Can you, for the benefit of our listeners, explain what is the two-party system that the U.S. follows and how do the U.S. elections differ from the way elections are held in India?
I think that's a very important question to understand and appreciate how the election is being held, particularly as far as the presidential election is concerned. Today, on the 5th of November, that is the first Tuesday of every November, every 2 years, there are elections to the House of Representatives, and every 4 years, there are elections to the President. So, House of Representatives is like Lok Sabha in India, and then there are also elections to the Senate every 2 years. So there are 435 members of the House of Representatives. There are 100 members of the Senate. So both together, it makes 535. And if you add three more seats or three more vote for Washington, D.C., it makes 538. So here, the elections, when the elections in the United States take place for the president, the people are not voting directly for the president. They are voting, in fact, for what is called an electoral college. Every state has the number of electoral college votes, which are proportionate to the population, of course, but equivalent to the number of representatives that they send to the House of Representatives. For instance, California sends 52 of them, and plus you add two, which is for the Senate, so it will have 54 electoral college votes, which is the highest number. Texas comes next with 40 electoral college votes. So people vote for these electoral college, and these electors, once the election has taken place, these electors will get together in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol Hill, in the parliament, on the 6th of January of the coming year, that is 2025. And these electors will then vote for either of the two candidates. And the one who is able to get more than half the number of votes, that is 270, that individual is declared the president, that individual is declared the winner, and she or he will then take the oath of office on the 20th. So it is very different to the system that we have in India, which is first past the post. Here, the whole election process, the election is taking place today, but the final outcome, results and implementation will be on the 20th of January of 2025.
Subhendu, I'll bring you in here. You are in Washington, D.C., which is the seat of the government. Voting process, as election process, has already started. What is the atmosphere there?
Anubha, if I can tell you, we've been traveling across the United States for the past fortnight or so. Here in Washington, D.C., on the election day, the voting has started about a couple of hours back. There is a mix of excitement as well as nervousness and tension. And I say nervousness and tension because the memory of what happened at the U.S. Capitol in 2021, January, is very fresh in the minds of people. These elections that we witnessed, the campaigning, the bitterly fought campaigning between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, one of the most polarized elections in recent history in America. And therefore, there are a lot of concerns about the law and order situation, about the manner in which the results will be accepted or not accepted by the two principal opponents in these elections. The security measures in that view have been really heightened. Unprecedented security measures, all official buildings from White House to Capitol to the Supreme Court are out of bounds for unauthorized people to even come close by. They've been fenced with steel grills. There is patrolling happening by the security forces, by the police, knifer dogs. The National Guard has also been put on alert to avoid any eventuality. unprecedented security arrangements have also been made at the polling stations. In the past, we've known the candidates get additional security cover, but it's the polling stations this time, ordinary polling officials who've also been target of threats in the run-up to the election day. So we see there are these panic buttons that have been installed at polling stations. If the poll workers need any help, if they are in any kind of crisis, they can press that button and get help immediately. There are drone surveillance being done, not just in Washington, D.C., but across the country here in the United States, especially the swing states, which are crucial, and the outcome of which likely to determine who the next leader of the United States is going to be. So in view of the heightened security, the nervousness and the tension in the air, Anubha, is quite palpable here in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Sajjanhar, Subhendu mentioned, this term swing states quite a few times. I'll come to that. But before that, I want to know from you, what are the main issues in this election? What are the issues that Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have been talking about to attract voters?
So this is a very important subject. And what Mr. Trump has really been talking about, the first issue right on the top has been immigration. And, you know, what he claims, what he charges is that over the last three and a half years, the administration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they have allowed illegal migrants from the southern border from Mexico to come in hordes. So there are more than 20 million. That is what they claim. That is what Mr. Trump charges, that these illegal immigrants have been allowed to come in. And he says our country has been captured. This has been captured by outside forces. And he's promised that when he comes back to power, he is going to deport all the illegal migrants. This is one of the most burning issue that he has brought in front of the people, because they come in, they create law and order issues, the crime rate increases, and of course they take up jobs also which otherwise would go to the American people. The other issue is of trade, and he says that people are definitely not as well-to-do and as prosperous as they were 4 years ago when he was the president. And he has said the businesses were booming at that time, the interest rates were low, the inflation was low. And over the last 4 years, the economy has not done well at all. And he has promised that he's going to create tariff walls. He'll impose tariffs to the tune of 60% on imports coming in from China, so that there is more manufacturing, more employment, more jobs, more investment that can be created in the country. As far as Kamala Harris is concerned, she is really arguing for the rights of women, particularly right of women over their own bodies to take the decisions on what they want to do with their pregnancies, with abortion, because recently the Supreme Court had turned down, had negated the Roe versus Wade provision, which allowed freedom to women to take decision as far as termination of their pregnancies is concerned. But now it has been made up to the states. It has been the decision has been left to the states. And Kamala Harris has said that this is a very important issue, and it has really electrified the women voters, at least. And you know what Shubhendu mentioned about the early voters, we have seen that out of the 80 plus million of those who have voted in advance before the voting started today, they have about 55% of them have been women, which means that they have been very much energized by this. And another point I could mention about Kamala Harris, her argument is that we need to save democracy, we need to save the Constitution from Donald Trump, because he is coming, he wants to come to power so that he can escape from going to the prison because of all the charges and the convictions and the felonies that he has committed. So to save the country from what Mr. Trump will do if he were to become president, all these, all her supporters need to come out. Both of them are really asking their supporters to come out and vote in large numbers.
Subhendu, you know, when we have elections here in India, from the day since, you know, from the time the elections open, we see long queues of, you know, people queuing up outside polling stations, and it's a holiday or the day of the election. Is it the same in US? Do you see lines if you've been to the polling stations? Are there long queues outside polling booths? Are people, you know, waiting for their turns to get into the polling booth and cast their vote?
Anupa, it's still first couple of hours of the polling. People are warming up. We also have to understand that unlike India, United States has a concept of early voting, wherein by law, the states can arrange for early voting to happen 45 days before this main election day. And this has been a historic early voting phase for America. Some 75 to 80 million voters have already exercised their franchise. And remember, the total registered voters is upwards of 240 million here in America. So a significant number of voters have already exercised their franchise. The rest are expected to vote today. As the day progresses, the lines are expected to be seen across different voting booths. There is, of course, a lot of excitement among the voters. Given that it's a polarized election, nobody wants to sit on the fence. People we've spoken to, they're very clear about their choices. But there is also a small percentage of population, Anubha, which is referred to as undecided voter, whose support is going to be crucial. And they're also the group that is making it so difficult to predict which way this election is going to swing. And the swing states in that context become hugely important. That's where the longer queues are being seen as we speak. Anubha, as people come out to exercise their franchise, what happens next, who becomes the next leader is going to significantly determine in different directions that America could take.
We were talking about the swing states or the seven swing states or battleground states. Now, it is being said that these will play a crucial role in the who becomes the next occupant of the White House. We saw both Trump and Harris, you know, campaigning in Pennsylvania on the last day. Why are these states so crucial?
Out of the 50 states, there are some states where it is known that they are going to vote Democratic. They are called the blue states. So they have given about 224 electoral college votes to Kamala Harris. That is what is expected. Some of the other states are red states, which are primarily Republican, and they have provided, they are solidly Republican. They provide about 219 electoral college votes. So there are seven states which are known as the swing states or the battleground states because they keep on moving from one side to the other. In one election, they are Democratic, and the other election, they vote Republican. And Pennsylvania, that you mentioned, Anubhavi, yourself, that is very important because it is the largest of the swing states. It yes. has 19 electoral college votes. And there are a number of issues, whether it is economy, whether it is women's rights or so many other issues or joblessness, unemployment, or even in terms of energy, fracking. That is also a very important element that is a part of in Pennsylvania particularly. So there are other states like Michigan with 15 votes. Right. Carolina with 16 votes, all of them are very important because the manner in which they vote will ultimately determine who the next leader of the United States is going to be.
Mr. Sajjanhar, as a former diplomat, whatever be the result of this election, whether it is Donald Trump or Kamala Harris who finally goes to the, you know, comes to sit in the Oval Office, how is it going to impact the U.S.-India bilateral relations? As the External Affairs Minister, Dr. Jaishankar, said, whatever the verdict, our relationship with the U.S. will only grow.
I can only second what the External Affairs Minister said because, you know, ultimately, it is the prerogative of the American people to choose their president. And India will deal with whoever is the, whatever is the final outcome. That having been said, I will say that there is a bipartisan consensus behind strong relations between India and the United States. And that bipartisan consensus exists in the U.S. as well as in India, particularly in the U.S. since we are talking about the U.S. presidential election. We've seen over the last 24 years, irrespective of which party has occupied the White House, relations between India and the United States have continued to grow stronger and have continued to expand and deepen. I'm confident that irrespective of whichever party, whichever candidate wins the presidential election today, relations between India and the United States will continue to get stronger. Of course, there are going to be some specificities right. in terms of the style and substance of the individual candidates. But the overall direction of our relationship will be upwards and will continue to grow.
Mr. Sajjanhar, Subhindu Ghosh, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you,
Anubha. Thank you very much, Anubha.
You were listening to a discussion on U.S. presidential election. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Anubha Rohatgi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.